Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we try and answer some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. My name is Marcus. There's Sarah.
It's me.
And that's Chris over there.
Hello.
Now, we all make mistakes. Throughout our lives, we will all have to apologize numerous times to various people. We appreciate an apology from someone else, but for some reason, when it comes to ourselves, sorry seems to be the hardest word, to quote Sir Elton. Today, we're answering this question: why is it hard to say sorry?
Being British, it's quite easy to say sorry if people bump into you on the street.
Yes, I see.
I noticed it again the other day. Someone brushed past someone else, and immediately the person being brushed aside went, "Oh, I'm so sorry." Yeah, and partly, I actually think in small things, it's really easy to say sorry. I think things like that, or, you know, you finish the milk and you haven't replaced it or something like that. It's quite easy to be like, oh yeah, sorry. Like,
that is a sin.
Is it?
That is truly unforgivable,
so
I'm afraid.
So you just don't want sorry, you want
I don't
want to
hear
punishment.
Sorry. Yes, I want public humiliation. Yeah.
That is exactly why people struggle to say sorry, because they're scared of being punished.
I was about to say, you've already said that that's unforgivable, which sort of brings another dimension to this quite early on in the conversation. If it's unforgivable, then what's the point in saying sorry?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Who's sorry for? That's the question.
One of the problems with cancel culture. Well, if you're going to hate me and get rid of me, then why should I bother?
They just carry on.
Saying sorry, though, it's funny you just said that, Grace. Saying sorry obviously is important for the person who's been wronged, but I do actually think it is important for the person apologising. I think it can bring you an amount of freedom. Mm. You know, when you have like messed something up,
yeah,
and if you give a full, frank apology, you admit you got it wrong, it is quite freeing.
Yeah. Unless they want to punish you.
Well, yeah, then it's terrifying.
This is all quite foreign to me, having never put a foot wrong in my life.
or ever apologised.
I've never had anything to apologise for. I think I'll probably apologise on this show to each of you. And I'll do it again. If I ever offended you, I do apologise for that right now. To jump in, I think it shows that you somewhat or fully value that other person or people.
That's say sorry.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Or you're just taking them into account, you know.
Yeah. You're bringing value to them. I do think it's hard to say sorry. And I've thought long and hard about this subject quite a while. And I do think those who struggle to say sorry is because there is probably some fear in them that they're going to receive punishment. And I think, again, it comes back to how were you raised when you're at home. And actually, if I admit wrong, it's just not worth it, because the result of me admitting I'm wrong is going to be horrific. So I'm going to fight against this with everything I've got, even if it means disconnecting from people. It's self-preservation, as where if you were maybe raised where you said sorry, you chatted it through with your family, and then you could carry on with life, I don't think you'd be as worried about saying sorry, personally.
Sarah, why do you think it's so hard to say sorry? Is it because of all those things that you've done?
It's all those skeletons in my cupboard. I definitely agree about the fear of punishment, the fear of, you know, how people will react. I think there's also something about if you put your hands up and admit that you've done something wrong, which is part of apologising, it's almost like admitting that you're not perfect, that you're not, maybe that you're not the person you like to think you are, or that you like to think people think you are. And admitting that you're flawed for some people is really difficult, especially if your thing is kind of that, you know, I'm nice, or I'm popular, whatever it may be. I think admitting that you're not perfect for some people can be really quite tricky, and kind of, I think some people worry it's going to lead to a downward spiral of, well, if I got this wrong, what else will I get wrong? I think I've kind of found that in the past of when I've got something wrong, I think, well, if I can get that simple thing, you know, like we mess simple things up all the time. Yeah. We accidentally do stuff that hurts people. And I've had that before where I've, you know, misjudged a situation and I've gone, well, if I can't trust myself to get that right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I trust myself at all? And of course you can. But yeah, in that moment, I think it's very confronting having to say I got it wrong.
Yeah, I think it goes, sorry, I was going to say, I think it goes quite deep what you're saying there, Sarah, in terms of, I think one of the greatest fears is that I am not enough.
Yes, exactly.
And therefore, if I'm not enough, exactly, and I'm not going to be lovable, I'm not going to be loved. And I think so, actually, you're kind of delving into that sort of territory of like, yeah, the deepest human fears of not being loved and therefore being rejected and loneliness, which is our greatest fear, I think.
Do you think also, though, that it depends on personality types? Because you have people who are planners and people who think, right, I've worked it all out, I've thought about everything, and I've done all this, that, and the other, and they mess something up, or in their sort of planning, they have not taken someone into consideration, or they've done it wrong, and to then have to say sorry for whatever that may be, it is almost like humiliating, or it's kind of like, but no, but I, how have I managed to find myself in this situation? Because I've worked it all out.
It should have worked.
Yeah.
And I wonder if, and in that kind of situation, is it, I don't understand why this has gone wrong.
Yeah.
So by me saying I'm sorry, I'm kind of immediately saying it's all my fault and I'm rubbish. And
or maybe the difficulty apologizing is you think, well, I'm not wrong, because when I do things, I don't get it wrong. And actually, it must be something to do with you. But then you have this thing which, you know, sometimes you have the aggressor doesn't realize how much they've hurt somebody, and they can sort of maybe trivialize it or dismiss the need to apologize. And according to one psychologist, rather, there's so many different
it's like a something. I don't know.
I went through a few different professions there, but a psychologist talks about a number of psychologists talk about this sort of a gap in understanding which can inflame the situation. And one said, you know, this gap in understanding, the magnitude of the problem often leads to an even wider gaping hole in the cognitive and emotional understanding of the situation as it is experienced by the one who has been hurt. And sometimes, again, somebody doesn't realize, you think, well, I need to apologize for that.
Yeah.
And you have a situation like that.
So here's a question.
Go on.
Should you apologize if you don't think you were in the wrong?
Yeah, that's a good question.
We can do that next week if you want.
Well, so someone would say, I'm sorry you're feeling this way. That, like, so there's an apology, but you're not admitting that you're in the wrong.
No, maybe not. No, I think, are you talking about, Sarah, people apologizing for things they haven't done and apologizing and being subservient when actually you're playing into the hands of a potential bully or something like that?
I don't know. Say, I didn't come to this with a fully formed example in my head.
Give us a real life situation.
Yeah, come on, Sarah, give us one.
Give us something real.
For example, like, say there was something.
Name the colleague.
You're being held responsible for something going wrong.
Yeah.
And you know that it wasn't your fault. You could dump someone else in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Should you actually just say, yeah, sorry, and just swallow that and get on with it? Or should you say, no, actually, I don't think that wasn't me.
Well, that's a different.
I don't feel like I should take responsibility for it.
But that's a different thing you're bringing into. You're saying, should you take the blame for somebody? That's not a question of apologizing necessarily.
Okay.
So, I mean,
poor example.
Well, but I thought what you meant is that, say, if your boss was a bit of a bully or something like that and blamed something on you, and you felt, oh, if I just say sorry, I suppose it is sort of, you know, willing to take the blame. Or do I say, no, I'm not apologizing? Or if you if one was to behave in a certain way, which somebody then got quite upset about.
Yeah, I think that's a good sort of
right. And they're like, I can't believe that you've, you know, told me that you know, I
when you drank all the milk and didn't replace it.
Yeah, and they go over the top or something extremely trivial, and actually the person who is wanting the apology maybe actually does need to sort themselves out and show a bit of stiff upper lip and just be like, oh, shut up, that's not, you don't need an apology for that, you silly sausage, you know.
I read a chapter in this book once, and it talked about how you can bring unintentional hurt or pain to other people. And so the example was, the guy who wrote a book was one of those psychologists from America.
Psycho something.
And and he basically was saying, like, he was at the breakfast table and his son was about 18. He was about to apply for university and said to his son, "How's your applications going for university?" And the son just blew up at him and said, "I can never please you. What, you know?" And the dad's like, whoa, what's going on? And then the son started to reel off all these situations where he felt he could never please his dad. And he'd say, "You know, there's that time when you taught me to mow the lawn, and then you took the lawnmower off of me because I didn't do it right." And the dad's there going, "Oh no, like, actually I was taught to model how to do things right." Mm. So then the dad starts to realize he's brought unintentional pain to his son. Okay. He said what he realized he needed in that moment wasn't an explanation for everything, but was to be heard. And the apology was like, "I'm sorry I brought unintentional pain to you," because there was real pain inflicted or felt by the son. But actually it was much more of a, "Oh, actually, yeah, let's mend the connection." Mm-hmm. And sometimes sorry helps to do that. "I'm sorry that I've hurt you and it wasn't on purpose." And then you start to talk it through afterwards.
It's interesting. And I think that apology is slightly different to, "I'm sorry if you were offended by what I said."
Yeah.
I think, "I'm sorry what I said was upsetting for you. I'm sorry I caused you pain when I said that." Yeah. Is kind of different. And it is taking responsibility. It's not saying, "I tried to hurt you."
Yeah, yeah.
But it's acknowledging, "Well, I have hurt you and I'm sorry for that. I would never want to do it."
And I think we do all unintentionally hurt each other. And I think that's when it's like, actually, I can say sorry for that. Like, I never meant to. However, I can see it clearly has. And that wasn't my intention. Let's talk this through. So,
yeah. I don't mean the whole sort of, "I'm sorry that you're offended." That actually...
That's quite offensive.
Yeah. Well, but that apology is often used, but obviously when you word it with a certain tone, "I'm sorry that you were offended." Mm. Actually, what a lot of people do say, "But I'm so sorry that caused offense to people." It's essentially the same thing.
I think it's even better, though, if you say, "If I caused offense," because that's owning that, yes. You know,
because
I did it.
Yeah. Well, but let's, you know, if you, there are certain things... Let's take, I don't know, something like religion. You know, one can say something that could be very offensive to a group of people, whereas other people go, "Well, actually, I don't believe any of that. I don't find that in the least bit offensive," say. And I'm not going to use examples here. Yeah, exactly. But something like that, you could say, "Well, I'm very sorry if I caused offense there." Because you're still saying, to me, that's, I sort of get why that would maybe, but I know for some people that may not. But it's not necessarily a hollow apology, if you see what I mean. It doesn't have to be. Although, what did you, because I've got a few examples of apologies that one in particular that wasn't particularly great, and it's fairly recent. It's Ellen DeGeneres. Do you remember this one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a fairly recent example when there was allegations of her being a bit of a bully and allegations of a bit of a toxic workplace in the studio and all that kind of stuff. And she said, "As you may have heard," was her beginning. So again...
Mm. You're not owning it. You've got to own it.
"As you may have heard, this summer there was allegations of a toxic work environment at our show. And then there was an investigation. I learned that things happened here that never should have happened." So she's learned that. Okay. Yeah. Nothing to do with her. "I take that very seriously. And I want to say, I am sorry to the people who were affected. I know that I'm in a position of privilege and power. And I realized that with that comes responsibility. And I take responsibility for what happens at my show."
Which is ironic, because what she's done by starting off is completely shirk responsibility. "I've learned, I wasn't aware. Like, I'm not taking responsibility for this. It's not my it's not my fault." And it's like, actually, she's clearly not going to change. So I think often with apologies, you do want to be heard and you want to be valued, but you also really, if it's really hurt, you want to see that someone's committed to change.
Yeah.
And actually is committed to doing that. So in a way, sometimes I'm not really bothered about sorry and confession. Uh-huh. I'll tell you where the bodies are. I mean, you're not going to bring them back. But what I do want to know is that your behavior's changed and you're not going to carry on doing it. So like,
no, that's... So there's,
like, we want the change. I mean, that's a silly example, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sorry and confession are a slightly different, the word I would use is repentance, which is to change the way you think. You change the way you think, you change the way you behave. And I think ultimately, if someone's really hurt me, I probably do want to trust them again at some level. And so, but I can only do that if there's change. Yeah. I can only really do that if there looks like a genuine repentance from I'm so sorry. Like, and there's a lady from Harvard called Alison Brooks, and she's a researcher, and she's looking at parole boards. She was saying that people who go up in front of a parole board, if they admit to what they've done and why they did it, they're less likely to be believed than those who admit to what they've done and what they're going to promise to change. So if you say, oh, I crashed that car into a bus, I'd had a really bad day and I was upset and my mental health was bad, so I had a drink and I drink drive and I did that, you're less likely to get parole than those who say, I have a drinking problem and it's my fault and I promise to do AA and I'm going to check in with these people. Like, people want the perception that you're going to change. I mean, story is still a big part of that. Mm-hmm. But it's really interesting. I think what we truly want is change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting point, because another very famous apology was, of course, Bill Clinton.
I was just thinking about this one.
Yeah. And but he's such a famous and or infamous, rather, should I say, an outstanding example with, of course, his affair with Monica Lewinsky. And, of course, he denied it. You know, I look, I'm not saying I agree with lying or anything, but let's not be naive and silly here. I understand why he denied it. Like, he obviously didn't want that to come out, on one level. But, you know, he completely denied it, as I say, a number of times. And then, of course, it became apparent and he apologized. And he apologized a number of times. I think there's a quote of him saying, I'm getting pretty well versed in this, apologizing business or whatever it is. And he was, what, the second president ever to be impeached. And I think that, do you think his apology was less impactful because he denied it and he'd lied? It was almost as if, all right, fine, it's come out, I might as well apologize. Do you think that attitude kind of people pick up on?
Yeah, I think he's apologizing for getting caught. And that's not the same as apologizing for the deed that was done, or the person that he's hurt, or the people that he's hurt. It is just, oh, I'm sorry I got caught, and I'm sorry that might have hurt you. But it's not a real apology.
Because Monica Lewinsky herself said what really hurt her was his when he said, I did not have sexual relations with that woman. She said that it was the use of that woman. And so when he apologizes, is he really apologizing to her? Is he? It is a bit sort of, oh, well, I'm sorry that you all found out about this, was kind of what it...
Yeah. It's really interesting. I can't remember for the life of me what it was. It was a podcast, I'm sure, where his speechwriter talked about what was in the original thing he wrote.
Blimey.
And it was, and he, I think he read some of it, and it was much stronger, and it was much more like, I've got this wrong and I'm sorry, and I, you know, yes, I take full responsibility for my actions.
Yeah.
But obviously it wasn't used.
It always reminds me of the now cancelled Little Britain, where they'd always have the guy, the politician at the front apologizing.
Oh, right. I can't remember the show.
I'm a fan. Sorry.
No, they've had to apologize, I think, after.
Irony. And but it was this thing of, it's always a politician at the front saying, I'm sorry for all these things I've done. And the interesting thing is, apparently, there's a piece of research that said 98% of us, they're not apologizing. And it is often a he, let's be honest, not apologizing to us. It's to the constituents. But really, they should be apologizing to the person that they've cheated on. Like, that's the one that really deserves the apology. The rest of us, you know, you could talk about public trust in that, but it's a weird thing to talk to the public about how you've had an adulterous affair on your partner. Like, it's strange.
Well, it is. But to me, the ultimate example of this, when there was a genuine apology from a politician, a president no less, was Richard Nixon. But David Frost managed to tease it out of him.
Yeah.
If you've not seen, I mean, obviously you can watch the actual interview, but then they had the film is it Michael Sheen, who was playing David Frost, who's absolutely brilliant, and obviously called Frost Nixon in the film. That is remarkable. I mean, that is an admission of guilt. That is, I mean, it is an apology. I can't off the top of my head think if he actually said, I'm sorry, but he may well have done. Forgive me if that's not correct. But for those
apology
who...
Apology accepted.
Thank you very much. Obviously, Richard Nixon, very sort of, you know, the big scandal of people aware of and so on, the history there. And for him to have tried to avoid getting in his interview with David Frost in the 70s, sort of avoiding any kind of tricky questions and all that kind of stuff. And then to actually get him to admit to the nation, I let the American people down.
Yeah, that's huge.
And for David Frost to say, well, what would you like to say to them? You know, it is some of the most remarkable television you'll ever see.
Yeah.
Considering the magnitude of that apology and for the position that he had. That, to me, that's a proper apology from a president about something that was absolutely shocking. And he said it directly to the nation. It's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
And I think it's quite interesting. I think we've probably talked about this on the show before, of contrasting that to some of today's politicians. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be this real aversion to apologies. And whatever side of the political spectrum you're on, I think, for example, last year, I found it quite hard. You know, Boris Johnson kept changing his mind about the COVID restrictions.
Yeah.
And Christmas, I think it's probably not exaggerating to say Christmas for a lot of people in the UK was ruined. There are a lot of people were very, very upset. And I just would have respected him so much more if he had said, you know what, I think I made the wrong call originally, and I'm sorry, and this is going to be hard, and I know this is going to ruin Christmas for a lot of people, but I got it wrong. I'm doing my best. I would just respect a politician who said that so much more. And I know I don't work, you know, I don't work in politics. I know there's a lot of stuff that comes along with admitting you get things wrong, but I just would have so much more respect for that.
I think I agree with you. And I think, but the problem is, as we sort of touched upon before, and as you sort of alluded to there, Sarah, that they do that and the opposition go, great, we can cite that, and go, well, he even admitted he got it wrong.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the culture, especially in the political arena, is just, it's not quite there. Think about it. What do we know the aforementioned Richard Nixon for? Do we think of him as an honourable man of integrity because he apologised?
Yeah.
No, we don't. And actually, if you think about his legacy, I mean, yes, he was caught doing this, you know, the Watergate scandal and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, but the fact is he said sorry. Does that actually go in his favour? Do people think more of him because of that?
People don't remember him for that.
If you look at the two presidents. I don't know, Chris, I think people do.
So the two presidents that you mentioned, Clinton and Nixon,
yeah,
they're both just seen as, you know, presidents who impeached, who lied and broke the law and stuff like that. And I mean, I don't think any better of Nixon. I probably should do, but it doesn't enter my consciousness when I'm thinking about him. As you said, I think about the scandal and being caught out really on television.
But this goes back to, what, you know, should you apologize? Because if you do, you open yourself up. And this is why apologizing and saying sorry is so hard, because you therefore immediately make yourself vulnerable some way. That is exactly it. And as I often do when researching for these podcasts, I went on
CBeebies.
I know I didn't go to CBeebies this time. Let's not mix up my personal, and, you know, my private life and my professional life. It was in Psychology Today that I went.
Oh yeah,
you love Psychology Today.
It just pops up when I'm sort of researching.
If they want to sponsor us, then you know, they get a lot of free publicity from us.
It's not a show without a quote from either Psychology Today, or your favorite comedian Billy Connolly.
Billy Connolly. Well, there was a chap, the wonderfully named Guy Winch, was writing in Psychology Today, and he was saying how refusing to apologize often reflects efforts to protect a fragile sense of self, is how he put it. And again, Chris, you touched on that earlier. And I thought to myself, yes, he refers to a certain type of people as non-apologists.
Okay.
And to put that in layman's terms, it is those type of arrogant wankers who are never at fault. Do you know what I mean? Like those sort of...
We all know one.
There's a real sense of, and it usually is men, that real macho pride, or it doesn't all, not always men, but that real sense of pride. And you know what? If they do something that's sort of a bit deviant or a bit of a social faux pas, or I don't know, even if it's something as trivial as dropping a glass in a pub or something, or parking where they should. There's, you look at them, there's always that look of, well, that's not, that can't be me. That's nothing to do with me. Mm-hmm. And take your eyes away from me, because I've obviously not done anything wrong. How dare you suggest that I have suddenly dropped my 100% standard? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. And he, as I say, for these so-called non-apologists, as Winch puts it, he says, saying sorry is actually a very, very deep, and it runs very deep psychologically with them. And the ramifications as they perceive it are quite troubling. And he says, admissions of wrongdoing are incredibly threatening because they have trouble separating their actions from their character, which is something you were saying, Sarah. So if they did something bad, they must be a bad person.
Yeah.
So it's that idea. Apologizing might open the door to guilt for most people, but for them it opens the door to shame, and obviously guilt can make us feel bad about our actions, but shame makes these non-apologists feel bad about themselves.
And I think it's really interesting what you touched on there, Marcus. About,
or what Winch
if
touched
I,
on, I should say.
Was, it's all, our I am good friend, Mr. Winch.
Doing this verbatim, so I can't take any credit for this. I just happen to agree with him.
Well, what Mr. Winch touched on there about if I do something bad, I'm a bad person. And I think, you know, as we've said, we all mess up. We all have done something wrong, and we've all hurt people. And I think it's very, very important to separate those things out.
That
just because you've done something that you're not proud of, you've done something that was selfish or hurtful to others or whatever it may be, it does not mean that that is who you are.
Totally,
and it doesn't mean you can't change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and absolutely. I think,
but just because you murdered someone, you're not a murderer.
There are a few exceptions.
Oh, dear. You guys always go for the extreme example.
But I think with that thing we're talking about, kind of the fragility and really the shame and the fear of getting kind of exposed, it goes into our amygdala part of our brain, which apparently is the oldest part of our brains, the reptilian bit. And that actually is connected to, I think it's the frontal cortex, which is where we make decisions. So when you get scared, it stops you being able to make proper decisions. And we probably all experience moments of anxiety or fear, and you just don't know what to do or think. And I think it's funny how if they can be so easily triggered, people just start to act in irrational ways, like you said, Marcus, like the way they look at you and you're like, why are you being so weird? Why are you being so irrational with this? Like, but it's all based in that amygdala fear response, fight, flight or freeze thing.
Well, yeah, it's funny you say that, because again, doing a bit of research on these sort of looking at famous apologies or infamous apologies and so on, when you say that if you get scared and you just start, well, it can't be me, Reese Witherspoon and her husband, do you remember this? They went out and basically had a few drinks and then drove home or something.
Oh, yeah.
And got pulled over by the police. And she basically, it wasn't that people were having a go. Apparently she was saying to the cop, don't you know who I am? You're going to find out who I am. And I'm pregnant. And and she just started saying loads of stuff. And she's not
pregnant. Just being completely mad.
Yeah, she just went mad. It was just crazy. And then she did apologize on television about
sorry for my insanity.
Yeah, because again, just didn't know how to kind of
handle
it. And
again, she is known as being quite a sweet natured.
Yeah.
Like, she's not one of those big Hollywood divas. But as you say, when we become frightened, sometimes you do just lose all sense of what normal behavior is, and you do weird things like that.
Yeah,
and good on, you know, yeah, she apologized and good on her for that. But
yeah. A funny one, yeah.
Going back to the Nixon thing you were saying about, I think what was interesting when you said that he apologized for letting the American people down.
Yeah.
I find that fascinating, because what he's actually done is he identified the problem.
Yep.
And often we can struggle to even identify what the problem is. Mm-hmm. And I guess that going back to the, what you want is change in behavior. And obviously he didn't get an opportunity to redeem himself. Is that you can identify a problem. You can identify what you need to change from. Mm-hmm. But if you don't even know what the problem is, what are you even saying sorry for?
Yeah, that's the question. That's
like, what are you saying sorry for? What, yeah. What's
also,
the big
it's the
deal
thing
here?
Of like, it's not like, obviously in that case, it was the literal behavior was awful. But you know, when it's something like my favorite example, using up all the milk,
yeah.
I'm not actually angry. Well, I am angry that I can't have my cup of tea, but it's because it's like, this feels selfish. I feel like you are not valuing me.
Yeah.
And if you can understand actually what the problem behind the problem is. Yeah. That helps you make a much better apology.
Mm-hmm. Apparently saying sorry too quickly just doesn't work, because you actually need to, or the person who's been wounded
can vouch for that.
Needs to be able to say, how they feel.
Yeah.
So if you just go, I'm sorry, and they don't, what are you even sorry for? I think that's the key thing is like, yeah. what are you even sorry for? Because actually, if you just say sorry all the time, just don't care.
Yeah, it's
just, it doesn't mean anything. It becomes completely meaningless.
It's like a free pass, isn't
it's not a magic word. Sorry, yeah. that's the end of that.
Yeah.
My wife always says, I didn't mean to. And I'm like, I know you didn't, but that's not a free pass.
You still did it.
Yeah. yeah. I said that'd be on her gravestone one day.
Oh dear, terrifying. Yeah, indeed. I mean, I find it interesting when you say about with people when they apologise that they're sort of scared to because going back to old Winch, he's saying that people are trying to manage their own emotions, and so they feel that if they apologise, then they're worried what could come after that. They're worried to be vulnerable. They're worried all that. In fact, they might...
It's opening a can of worms.
Completely, yeah. And they're actually quite comfortable with maybe anger and conflict, like a bad form of conflict, because not all conflict is necessarily bad, of course. And so, yes, they're kind of like, well, if I say sorry, and then there's that whole thing of, do they want me to say sorry even further? About other things, you know, as you say, it's a kind of a can of worms is a good way to sum it up.
Yeah, I think it's also like part of the apology is like how good are we at receiving apologies and sorry as well.
Yep.
And I think for me, there's this thing of when someone has said sorry and when they have really thought about it and you can see it's a genuine heartfelt apology, saying, oh, don't worry about it. It's like the worst thing to say, like at least acknowledge that they've said it. Say,
yeah, no, I've got up the courage to tell you this.
Yeah. If someone apologizes, just say, well, if it's genuine, thank you. Like, it's not easy. And I think it's like, we also need to get better sometimes at accepting apologies and not holding grudges and not like clinging on and, you know, demonizing them in our minds all the time.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of an apology that I received where it was a really good apology. They took full ownership for what they did. And I had, you know, I took a bit of, it was by text, and I took a bit of time to think, you know, what to say, because they had really hurt me. But actually, I just said to them, I just really appreciate you being honest and just taking ownership of this. And I hope we can put this behind us now.
Yeah.
And that really set things on a great path.
Yeah. Because the goal is ultimately reconciliation. So like repentance, and then you get a reconciliation. And then ideally it's restoration of like the relationship and then building it forward as well. And that does need acceptance in there as well. Like otherwise none of that kind of process can happen or go on.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you don't necessarily have to forgive someone immediately the moment they apologize. I think that's fine. But I also think, yeah, when you are receiving an apology, I think it is good to, when you have accepted it, to say, now let's move on. It's time, you know. And yeah, like this person I'm thinking of, our friendship actually grew massively from that point.
Yeah.
And I'm so pleased that we went through it, even though it was horrible at the time.
Because I think forgiveness, like, it's not about letting someone else off the hook. Is our release valve of our own pain. Actually, you've got a hook in me because of what you've done, and this hurts me. And actually, it's me unhooking from you. So when I say that's fine and I forgive, then actually it's me being free.
You're not like letting them like get away with it or saying it didn't hurt.
Yeah.
No, it's just saying, well, I need to move on. Because if we don't forgive people, it's us who can't move on.
Yeah.
It's us who are stuck in it. And let's imagine that person's died. I'm still carrying that wound. And actually, ultimately, I should be free from that wound to move on with the rest of my life.
Totally, yeah. Because if someone does apologize to somebody and that other person goes, ha ha, I've won.
Yeah.
Well, actually, if you think about it, the person who has that must be very frustrating, or could be frustrating for the person who said sorry. But if that person doesn't accept it, then the person who has issued the apology can say, well, look, I've almost like done all I can. I know there's an extreme examples here that I'm sure people would use, but just in the general. And then the other person, actually, you're right, Chris, they need to forgive, whether it be in time or instantaneously.
Process, yeah.
Again, there's a numerous, you know, variants of this or factors, because otherwise you're just mugging yourself off.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I am now going to say, though, when someone apologizes, ha ha, I won.
I win.
As
Homer, you're a loser.
As Homer does to President Bush in that episode of The Simpsons, talking of talking to presidents. So there we are. I think I think there's a lot to chew on there. And if you do need to say sorry to somebody, then do it. Go and phone them up right now. And,
but if someone apologised to you, don't say, I win.
Yeah. Unless you are truly blameless and you have won. And it is a game. Being right is important when it comes to forgiveness and saying sorry. There we are. Thanks very much for listening to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers. Do find us on social media at AQQAPod. We're on Insta and Twitter, of course. We'll be back next week with another cracking pod, no doubt. Until then, say goodbye, Sarah.
Bye.
Say goodbye, Chris.
See ya.
It's goodbye from me. See you next week, everybody.